The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this March 9th, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on what has turned out to be a gorgeous Monday afternoon here in the Auburn and Opelika area. Tons to get to on today's show. College basketball, college baseball. I mean, NFL free agency, if we really just get down in the dumps about basketball. I mean, there's all sorts of things to talk about on this Monday afternoon. Is it a happy Monday for you, Chris? It's a loser Monday. We know that. It is another loser Monday. But I'm going to toss it to you and say Monday, and I'll let you fill in on how you're feeling this afternoon.
Man, it's happy Monday because I get to hear your voice on the radio station today.
Wow. You heard me on Thursday. I just wasn't here.
That is true. We did. We made jokes about hearing your wonderful voice and thought about playing it all day Friday just to be able to hear your voice once again on the station. No, it is.
They do call me the Morgan Freeman of radio in Auburn Opelika.
That
the
is
soothing, soothing tones.
Yeah, that is almost the David Attenborough type of talking about, you know, deep ocean water and all of the fish.
I'd like to be compared to Bob Ross.
That's fair. Do you not know who David Attenborough is?
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure he just turned like 100. He's the really deep British voice that does all of the National Geographics.
Oh, okay.
The really, really soothing ones of all the...
Yeah.
Usually the fish in the sea or the animals running across the safari.
What a job. What a gig.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's a pretty sweet gig. I'm not that cool.
No, but... You can be the David Attenborough of ESPN 106.7 here in Auburn.
I'll claim it.
And Opelika. No, it is happy Monday, relatively. Based off the conversations that we have here early on in the show, it might turn a little bit more back into Monday, but the sun is shining, man. It's a good day to have a good day, and that's what we plan on doing here today. We're talking Auburn and Alabama, which, again, is a little bit bitter. We got a lot of our emotions out. I filled in for Carson Meyer on after the game over on Wings 94.3. I went from until about 11:30 on Saturday night, a full hour of a lot of emotions, a lot of conversations, and some of those may surface once again here this afternoon. But we are also talking the biggest results in college basketball just from around the SEC, around college basketball as a whole. And then we're diving into a little segment on Auburn baseball again this weekend, absolutely dominating. We'll dive into a little bit more specifics on that tomorrow. But I think it's safe to say with the temperatures heating up, so are the bats. And my goodness, it's very, very satisfying to see because we talk all about how this is a team that wants to put across one run here, one run here, one run here. Well, if all of a sudden you get that leadoff single, all of a sudden another single, first and third, pass ball, runner scores, runner on second base, there comes the RBI double, there comes the bomb, next thing you know you're down 5-0. It's a lot of what Auburn did this weekend. So we'll dive into a lot of that conversation. Also, a surprise on the game tomorrow that we will talk about here in just a little bit. All of that's coming up here in hour number one.
Yeah, so we know you got thoughts. We know you watched it, listened to it, and want to react to it, which is what we are going to do on the show today. Auburn basketball falls to Alabama in the regular season finale in a game that was never really close. Give us a call. They're open today. Are the phone lines 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. You can give us a call between now and 3:30 when we have our man Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network on, or you can shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. Auburn falls to Alabama in Tuscaloosa, 96-84. And for anybody that actually watched or listened or both to this game, you know this was not just a 12-point loss to Alabama. This was a blowout. Alabama dominated from the opening tip, maybe not to the final tip, because they kind of let off the gas there a little bit, and Nate Oates had some choice words for his own team about the last 15 minutes. But I think Auburn just goes to show they weren't ready and didn't belong on that floor.
Which is so upsetting, considering that's a lot of what we talked about following the game late Saturday night, and hopefully you were there to join us. But a lot of the conversations of, you feel like it's been three or four games now where Stephen Pearl walks into the locker room pregame and shouldn't feel the need to say some pregame hype speech. It should be, all right, you want to keep playing? There's nothing else to be done. Go play. Go win these next 40 minutes. Go play as hard as you can, and when the clock hits zero in the second half, look up at the score and see where you're at. But my goodness, the team thinks that they have this toughness. They think that they have this really tough edge to them, but then they get punched in the mouth, and it's really, really tough for them to find ways to respond. And a lot of that comes in the first 2 minutes of each half, which is something that I've kept notes on all season long, and I'm dive into it here again today. The first 2 minutes and the last 2 minutes of each half. So the first two, the middle four, and the last two. Those 8 minutes throughout every single contest, throughout SEC play, throughout the 18 games, Auburn's been outscored by 52 points in those 8 minutes. Which doesn't seem like a whole lot when you look at it by 18 games. What, four, if three, 3.5 points. Mm-hmm. But it's more of the fact of, okay, well, in a couple of the games, you outscored Florida by 7 in those. You outscored Ole Miss by 8. You outscored Vandy by 2. So the fact that you're then taking those away and makes the losses that much worse. Auburn's been outscored in those minutes 12 of the 18 games. An SEC play.
You can't expect to do anything long-term with those types of numbers.
And it gets to the point where I talked a lot about it, of not that there was, you feel, from the fan base perspective and just from the giddy love that you have when you watch your team play or you think about a rivalry, yes, there is hope. But I mean hope from this standpoint a little bit differently contextually, from the standpoint of not even hope that the game would go different, but hope that something would change throughout the season.
Yeah.
From that standpoint. Because if I know that statistic, Stevens talked all about it, of, man, we got to get off to a better start. We give up an easy possession to start the game when a team's on the road. All of a sudden, that builds confidence throughout their entire game. Or you play a decent 18 and a half minutes like you did against Alabama inside Neville Arena, all of a sudden they make 9 threes in a minute and a half, and that propels them into the second half. It's things like that that make it so frustrating. And so you hoped that there would be some sort of change, especially in a game that was as big as this, where you didn't need any extra motivation, where you knew that you were the last team in before this game even tipped off, and it took about 4 minutes, and Bama started 6 for 6. You realize nothing was going to change.
Yeah, I mean, I'll add on to that. My father, I was with my family this weekend, and that's the mindset that he had as an Auburn fan, was, I don't think Auburn can win this game, and Auburn's clearly not the better team in this game, but he told me, I'm hoping that Auburn can turn it on and do something different,
right,
which is what you just talked about, and that's giving a perspective from, again, my father, who has watched all the games and has been around this a long time, and he knew it was a tough battle. He knew it was a tough ask, but you just felt like with everything at play here, that Auburn, for 40 minutes, that's all it took, was 40 minutes of good basketball for you to save your season, and you may as well have just not even got on the bus. You may as well have just stayed in Auburn and shot around at Neville Arena, because you did not belong on the floor with Alabama. Phone lines are open if you want to give us a call and talk about this. 334-321-1390. Again, 334-321-1390. Auburn falls to Alabama 96-84 on Saturday night in Tuscaloosa. Text box is open as well, 334-784-1067. And this game, I mean, defensively for Auburn was just poor. Just, and how many times have I gone back to that word? It's just, man, it's just so bad. It's atrocious. And I was with a group of people watching the game this weekend, and they were like, Jacob, wasn't Stephen Pearl the defensive coordinator under Bruce? And I was like, yeah, he was. Which is why it's so baffling that the defense has been so bad. And we talk about a team in college basketball, not even Auburn, just a team in general, right? You hit that point in the season where you are who you are. You're not going to change. We saw that in the losing streak that this team went on. And defensively, they were bad from the jump this season and have not gotten better. And it's your downfall. You give up 96 points in an SEC game. You give up a 50-piece in the first half.
And nearly in the second.
To an Alabama team that, yes, they are a good offensive team, one of the best in the country, but they did it in a way that they don't normally do it.
And I think that's what's even more frustrating, is the fact that Alabama was 7 of 27 from 3. Yet there was a statistic that was read early in the second half that Alabama had 44 points in the paint, I believe, and Auburn had 42 total points. And that is what is so bad, because when you force a team to be one-dimensional, it gives you a really solid chance. And ironically, Auburn forced Alabama to be one-dimensional, but more times than not, if I tell you, okay, Alabama doesn't shoot well from three, you score 84 points on the road, and you force Alabama to shoot tough contested twos, you tell me that Auburn had a pretty good chance of winning this basketball game. But then you go and look at the miscommunications, Auburn defenders running into each other, LeBaron Filon having the entire left side of the rim where he could miss it twice and get his own rebound and put it in if he wanted to, and just the lack of effort of making that play. You feel as if this team, again, wants to have that really tough mentality, and the mentality of nobody's going to do that to us. When we play like this, nobody can beat us. And obviously, yes, it's nice to have that overall confidence, but Alabama starts 6 for 6. Where's the guy that's in the huddle during a timeout going, all right, I'll be the guy to stop this? There's not.
Yeah.
And Alabama just continues to do everything that it wanted to do. Alabama goes 7 of 27 from 3, only shot 26%, but shot 52% from the floor. So think about what they shot from 2. What is that? 29 of 42 from inside the 3-point line.
For a team that doesn't like to do that. So not only did they dominate you in the lane by shooting the basketball, they dominated you, out-physicaled you, out-worked you, out-hustled you on the boards as well. In that first half, I think this, more than anything, led to Auburn getting run out of the gym in Tuscaloosa. The idea that you get out-rebounded by 14 to that Alabama team, 42-28. You give up 19 offensive rebounds to Alabama, and you get outscored 24-8 in second-chance points. My math isn't good, Christian, but 24-8 is pretty lopsided, wouldn't you say? I believe that's 16.
I'd agree with that statement. Yeah.
Believe that number is 16 in the differential. Auburn loses by 12. You think that made a difference? Most of that coming in the first half, again, where Alabama just put you in the ground and never turned back.
And, gosh, it just builds more and more frustration the more that you truly go and think about it. Because you live in a social media world where every single player that steps onto the floor knows exactly where they're at, whether that's bracketology, whether that's the SEC standings, whether that is whatever the case may be. You have a game on ESPN, and you know the controversy. Todd Pettifer knows the controversy. Keyshawn Hall, Keyshawn Murphy, those guys know the controversy of Auburn being in the tournament despite the record. When you look at some of these other teams that may not get the automatic bids or that are sitting at the first four out, that Auburn's almost stealing a bid from, the way that the committee and the bracketologists are using it just based off of the net rankings. You know that these players know this. And so, okay, we're on ESPN. Everybody is going to be watching this game. If you go out and you lose by 12, but it's a back-and-forth battle until the under four timeout, Alabama makes a couple of threes, you miss a couple of threes, and they shoot a couple of free throws to go and ice it, I don't think that builds frustration. I don't think the final score is what's frustrating, but it's the fact that every single person in America that cares about college basketball turned into ESPN, or turned into Wings 94.3, to listen or watch this basketball game, and turned it off at about the under eight mark in the first half and said, how the hell is this a tournament team?
Yeah. And you just, it's baffling to see what happened in this game. And again, nobody is, like you said, nobody's surprised that Alabama won. It's the lack of fight and energy that Auburn brought to Tuscaloosa, that brought to Alabama. And at this point, they're not a tournament team in my eyes. They don't deserve it.
Just looking at you,
they don't want it.
No, that's another conversation. But you take the entire bracket out of everything, and you're looking at it. Okay, yes, there's the eye test, or I guess that doubles down to my point. But yes, there is the net ranking. Yes, there is your quad one ranking. But compare two teams like Auburn and Oklahoma right now, who both finished 7-11 in SEC play, but Auburn's lost 8 of its last 10. Oklahoma's won 6 of its last 8.
Which team would you rather be in the tournament?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
After going on the road and beating a Texas team coming from behind, Auburn's 2-8 in its last 10. Oklahoma's 6-2 in its last 8. You talk about the trajectories. That's what's so frustrating, is you have teams that are not even getting those types of discussions because Auburn is in there because of the quad one rankings of, despite our frustrations, it's benefiting Auburn right now, but it doesn't matter who you beat, it matters who you play.
Mm-hmm. And that's been the mindset of a guy like Bruce Pearl when he made this schedule for several years, because they figured out the formula, overload the non-conference schedule to give you some grace in your conference schedule if you can't win all your games, right? That's a broken system in my mind, but Auburn has abused it. It worked to perfection last year, which you didn't need the grace because you won most of your games a year ago. This year, it might save you and might put you in the tournament, but I don't think Bruce Pearl, when he made this schedule several years ago, thought that his team or his son's team would be on the outside looking in, right? And having to use games against Houston that you lost, Purdue that you lost, games like that, to squeeze and sneak your way and slimy your way into the NCAA tournament. Because that's what Auburn's going to do. If they get in, there will not be a soul in America that said, yep, that's the right decision. Not even Auburn fans. That's when you know it's bad. When the fan base themselves says our team doesn't belong in the tournament, that's when you know it's bad. And that's what Auburn displayed for 40 minutes on Saturday night in Tuscaloosa. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. Give us a call. We know you got thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. Text box is open as well at 334-784-1067. We continue this conversation as we're just underway here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Phone lines are open if you've got thoughts on Auburn basketball falling to Alabama and whether you think they will make the NCAA tournament. 334-321-1390. We go to the phone lines now, and Ty the Tiger joins us here on this Monday afternoon. My man, it's good to hear from you. Your thoughts on what happened this weekend?
I really don't know, man. you know, that was just embarrassing. You know, I'm not gonna close the book on Mr. Pearl Jr. first and foremost yet, but I mean, I know one thing. The only way I see us getting into the tournament is if we beat Vanderbilt. So, in other words, we gotta win 3 games, get to 18 wins, and then you have at least an argument of getting in there. If you don't get to the semifinals, I don't see an argument for Auburn at all.
Thankfully, Ty, the SEC tournament's always really benefited teams.
That's another thing is that, you know, it's shown in the past. You know, I remember a couple years back with A&M.
Yep.
You know, and A&M was about the same record, but, man, they caught fire at the end. Now, they were playing a lot better going into the tournament than mm-hmm. we are, but got to the championship game, and it still didn't help them.
Right, and that's going to be a conversation we have later on, Ty, because Auburn in the SEC tournament is not the only situation like this, because the bubble was horrific this weekend for teams. And so we're going to have a conversation later on in the show about if conference tournaments for bubble teams this year actually have a little bit of meaning. But you think Auburn's got to beat Mississippi State, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt if they want to make the big dance?
If they even want to be in the conversation, they've got to win those three.
Hmm. That's a lot.
If not, I don't think they've done enough. Again, it ain't who you played, it's who you beat and what you look like going down the stretch. I mean, the committee has shown that to us plenty of times, and right now they don't look like a team that's tournament worthy at all. I don't know what's going on. I mean, again, I didn't get off work but until watched the second half, but I mean, by that time it was done.
Yeah, you know? It was over. So,
and well, I tell you guys this, if y'all watched any Big Ten action this past weekend, they had mm-hmm. the Big Ten tournament. A lot of cool upset with wrestling, man. So the Nationals are coming on in 2 weeks.
Yep.
And that's some real March Madness.
March Madness is what they call that time. March Madness, baby.
Right, Madness. And I don't know if y'all paid attention, man, but, you know, you got Kale Sanderson mm-hmm. at Penn State going for his fourth straight. And if people don't understand, Kale Sanderson is like Michael Jordan and Nick Saban in one person.
He's unbelievable. Penn State had one seeds in what, like 7 of the 9 weight classes or something like that. I don't think they had a heavyweight in there, but.
Nah, the heavyweight was 4. They had 8 in the finals and
that's
won
ridiculous.
7 of them.
That's
and
ridiculous.
They were just dominant.
Yeah.
And, it's just, man, it's going to be a good tournament. It's going to be fun. It's gonna be crazy, man. And if y'all do watch it, man, watch 133 weight class. 133 yep. is just wide open. You got 4 freshmen that are phenoms that are coming in that any of them could win the national championship. And that's what I like about wrestling, because you know your whole team can suck, but it's on you, brother, and it's your tournament, and it's yep. what you make it out of, man. And that's what makes it awesome. As always, guys. Before you go, oh yeah, by the way, I went to the 984 Club, man, the other night. Good God, that is just that is top notch prestige. I mean,
first time up there.
Man. Oh, first time up there,
yeah,
man. I got some tickets from Doug on the on the show for y'all, man. And dude, I'm gonna tell you, me and my little boy Charlie, man, we was sitting about third inning. We looked at each other like, man, I can't eat nothing else. Man. We done had popcorn and ice cream.
That's awesome, man.
Pretzel dog buns.
That's
man,
awesome.
It was so awesome. And it was plush, man. It was awesome. And then then we came back and won versus, was it West Georgia? The walk-off?
Yeah. Right.
Man, that was a good game to go to, man. And Auburn, at least we got something to look forward to. Let's go 984 miles to Omaha, baby. Let's go.
Love it. Ty, we appreciate the call, my friend. Always good to hear from you here on the show. Ty the Tiger calling in. Phone lines are open. 334-321-1390.
Welcome to the baseball world.
Welcome to baseball.
We got
baby.
Another one,
yes,
baby.
We got another one. We're in. Yeah, and Doug does a lot of giveaways and things. We actually have a little giveaway coming up in just a little bit, so stick around for that. We do not have 984 seats, unfortunately. But we do have good seats at Plainsman Park, so stick around. We'll talk about that coming up at 2:30. But Yeah, Big Ten Wrestling and NCAAs are coming up same time. I think it's actually a week before. It's maybe the same week of the basketball tournament. I got into it several years ago with a buddy and his family that was big wrestling. And Graham, for people that have been around for a long time, was our producer over the summer a couple of years ago, but one of my best friends, and they got me into it. It is really, really cool. Definitely not for everybody, but it's a lot of fun, so you can keep up with that if you would like to. I agree with Ty. Also, the 984 Club is very nice. I've sat up there many times, and they did an incredible job with that. And, yeah, his thoughts on basketball were, that was pretty terrible. Our guy said, man, I didn't get to catch until the second half, and the game was already over, which is absolutely true. A couple of text messages in the on-the-line text box that you can send your messages into as well, 334-784-1067. One person says that Auburn defensively literally let a guy slide on his rear end all the way down the floor, didn't attempt any defense on him, let him get up, and get a bucket. And if you are familiar with the play, if you watched it, you know exactly what he's talking about. And that pretty much summed up everything from Saturday night. Another texter says, to be clear, this team does not deserve a tournament spot. They quit. There's no effort. It's embarrassing. But what if our favorite game, and this texter knows that, what if the Texas A&M game call isn't reversed and Auburn wins on the buzzer beater from Keyshawn Murphy? And what if they take that loss away against Alabama the first time because of an ineligible player? How different does our season look right now?
We wondered when that conversation would be brought back up. And
28 minutes into the Monday show, there it is.
Yeah, but I even just throughout kind of even these last couple of stretch of games, you feel like that could have been a conversation. But because Auburn has been so poor over the past handful of games.
It's the word we come back to. I can't think of another word.
It's made it. I can think of other words, but I feel like that's just the best one.
That's the one that the FCC will allow us to say.
But there would be a lot higher of emotions if that truly, although it may play a factor in it because it was so long ago, I don't think it has the recency bias mindset of what the fans are clinging on to anymore.
Yes, if you won one of those games, you're probably not on the bubble. That's the answer
I think you're still on the bubble, but I think you have another spot or two that you're more comfortable on the last four in.
See, I think with either one of those wins, I think you're in.
It's just a quad two win now for A&M.
Yeah. Or the Alabama game with Bediako. That was the other situation. I guess either one of those. But more conversations on basketball as we go. Speaking of the 984 Club, we talk Auburn baseball next.
30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. And we're going to talk more basketball as the show goes on. A fun and timely conversation coming up at 3 o'clock about whether conference tournaments mean more this year than they have in the past because of all the bubble teams that lost over the weekend. We'll talk about
impressive.
That. Yeah, I mean, it's incredible, really. The fact that happened and gave Auburn still somewhat of a chance to get into the NCAA tournament. So that's coming up at 3 o'clock. Then we'll have Jacob Hillman at 3:30. But we want to talk some baseball because we've obviously ramped up our baseball coverage over the past several weeks with the Tigers getting underway on the diamond. And another successful weekend for Butch Thompson and Auburn baseball. Another series win over the weekend. Another sweep over the weekend, which not a ton of teams in SEC play can say.
No.
Or across the league can say. And they did it in the most Auburn 2026 way possible. Dominant pitching, annoying hitting, and just put their foot on the gas. They're not flying down the interstate. They're doing about 5 to 10 over constantly, and they're just flooring it. And this Auburn baseball team is so much fun to keep up with.
They are. You outscore Winthrop, who came in with a pretty solid lineup. You outscore them 24 to 1 in the three-game series.
That's remarkable.
That is absolutely insane. And again, we'll dive into some more of the specifics. We'll go game by game. For those that are longtime fans of the show, you know that Tuesdays at 2:30 is when we flip over and have a real deep dive into Auburn baseball. And if you're not, now you do know that we will dive into that. Also have our baseball interview. Do we have the head man here?
We have confirmation.
Oh, man.
Yes. Butch Thompson will be joining us tomorrow at 3:05.
How awesome is that? Right before
SEC play.
Yep. You're previewing UAB here coming up.
Full non-conference recap. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. That'll be really, really cool. And we can almost claim, and we might have to make a joke about this with Coach Thompson, on whoever you want to have a really big weekend, just have them come on the show and talk to us.
Have them talk to us.
We had Chase Frelick this past week, and my goodness, I'd say he had a pretty good midweek against Sanford. I'd say he had a pretty good weekend as well.
I would say so. And then we had Marciano, our first player, who I don't know if he needs our help. He's pretty good on his own.
We'll still claim it, though.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. We'll claim it, no doubt. But yes, Butch Thompson will be with us tomorrow at 3:05.
That's awesome.
So excited for that. Yeah, he'll preview the UAB game tomorrow night at Plainsman Park and recap non-conference play up to that point, and then get to preview SEC play on the road in Como against Missouri as well. But speaking of UAB tomorrow, we're going to talk about the series against Winthrop. But we have something cool that we want to do for UAB tomorrow.
We do. Yeah, giving away a set of four tickets together. Not, again, maybe not the Broadway Club, but we are giving away a set of four tickets to tomorrow's game against UAB. It's a 6 o'clock start at Plainsman Park. And just use the money that you would spend on tickets on the $5 brews and $2.50 hot dogs.
Yes.
I mean,
so
what a great problem to have. So we are giving away four tickets, and we will be doing so sometime in hour number two. For those that listened a while ago, was it also with tickets? Or what was?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was tickets. I can't remember.
I don't remember exactly what it was for. Was it for? Was it football tickets? Was it one of the? The games
maybe a
in
non-conference
the rivalries.
Game. Yeah, something like that. But we're doing it a little untraditional rather than just first caller gets them. We're not doing that. We did a code word or a keyword a while ago, and that was really cool. It worked out well, so we're going to do that again for four tickets to tomorrow's baseball game against UAB.
We are, yes. And so my keyword for today's four tickets, that's not me saying it right now, but it's after this segment ends. So once we take our commercial break from there to the end of the show, if I say the word introduction.
Introduction.
That will be your
key
word. And you have to say and let Brandon know, again, our producer who's going to be guarding the phone line. So once we say that word, you have to repeat it. And then he will get your name, your phone number. They are the electronic tickets. And so with that, we will then send them your way. And you will have four tickets for tomorrow's game against UAB. So again, introduction. That's not it right now. But that is the code word after this segment. For the first caller to get four tickets to Plainsman Park tomorrow evening.
Yep, looking forward to that game tomorrow. We're going to be there in attendance, so excited for that game tomorrow. But for fans who were in attendance this past weekend to watch Auburn take down Winthrop in the Friday night game in a 10-0 7-inning run rule and then a doubleheader on Saturday, turns out they probably could have ended up playing yesterday, but hindsight's 50-50, right, is what some people like to say. I mean, you probably
not even 20-20, 50-50.
Even worse, right? Yeah.
Is that worse or better? Do the numbers go up the better your eyesight is, or is it down?
Correct. They go up. So
So hindsight 50.
No. Sorry, other way around. If you're 50-50, you're terrible. 20-20 is good, like 2015, whatever, like that's
okay.
I've never heard those numbers because my eyesight is so terrible that they're like, yeah, we don't even give you numbers. Like
they don't even let you read the
the
numbers, the little pyramid that goes.
Oh, no. Well, I do, but
it's
not
good. You read the first row, and it's like, you're like, cool, what are my numbers there? Ooh.
Yeah, they're like.
You have numbers.
Yeah, dude. My eyes are so bad. I've told you this. My eyes are so bad, I don't qualify for laser eye surgery. They can't fix it. My eyes are so bad that laser eye surgery can't fix it. So.
Man.
Yeah. My color commentator, Rob Pate, knows that very well for football. The eye doctor, by the way, who has to be my vision in the booth. But anyway, this weekend was a good one for Auburn baseball. 3-0 sweep over Winthrop, again beating them 10-0 on Friday, 6-0 Saturday, 8-1 on Saturday in game two. Almost said Sunday, but Saturday in game two. And again, Auburn did it in ways that they've done it all season long, with dominant pitching start to finish, especially your three guys on the mound to start. You then bring in guys who can be the bridge, and you close it out when you need to. And then Auburn just scores inning after inning after inning. It's unbelievable to watch. You said it, 24-1 is what Auburn won over the weekend, outscoring Winthrop in three games over 2 days.
Stetson's also trying to win the series, if not get the sweep. I'm trying to see. I don't remember the Friday score. Okay, no, Arkansas won game one over Stetson 7-1. They didn't play Saturday. Sunday's game, Stetson took it 4-1. They're playing right now, and it's 6-4 Stetson, top of the ninth. So Stetson is trying to win the series at number 5, Arkansas. And
would be another SEC team to lose the series.
Would be another team. Sacramento State won the series against LSU. You had a couple of other upsets in there as well. Wright State took the series over Tennessee.
The Raiders, baby. Yes, Dayton, Ohio.
Goes to show you, again, I think the SEC will be just fine. By no means is me saying this prefacing to, oh, I think SEC conference play, I don't think it's going to be good this year. I think the SEC is overrated in baseball. But it goes to show you, A, sometimes, as annoying as it sounds, baseball is just baseball. And getting hot is getting hot in one weekend. But goes to show you how even the walk-off win with Auburn and West Georgia, or the loss to Nebraska in game one, but then the response, or the 6-2 win over Samford that doesn't look like a lot. You cherish the wins in baseball, especially if you're the Auburn Tigers, and the way that you can propel those midweeks. Another one again against UAB tomorrow night, who's going to be a really, really solid team, will probably throw their best arm, if not their second best arm. You're going to have their best guys out of the bullpen. You're going to have their full focus. That's something that, again, we'll talk about tomorrow with Coach Butch Thompson, but he's done such a good job, and I believe he talked about it with us at the beginning of the year, of playing baseball the way that you play it, regardless of the opponent. You respect your opponent, you respect the game, and not that these SEC teams that are losing aren't, but to value every single win, because even an ugly win can still propel you in the right direction, mentally, physically, and look at what Auburn has done since that Cincinnati loss.
Yeah.
The wins against Arlington, you get three of them, and then the walk-off against West Georgia. You then take the series against Nebraska, you beat Samford, and you beat the brakes off of Winthrop in a three-game set. And so the midweeks, and again, even those weekend sets, man, you value your wins whenever you can get them.
But I also think you can't overlook midweek or weekend losses in non-conference
play
either. Again, we're talking Tennessee, Arkansas. These teams have Florida got beat this weekend, did they not? Didn't Florida baseball lose this weekend
they
too?
Did, yeah.
To High Point, am I right about that? You can't put everything in a...
Yes, oh yes.
Right? Am I right
because
about that?
I'm almost positive High Point... Yeah, High Point won the series and did everything they could to... Florida took game three in one of the ugliest ways possible.
Really?
I think High Point was up 4 in the ninth.
Oh, no.
And Florida won on a walk-off.
It was 3 straight bases-loaded walks, I believe.
Yes.
I believe I saw that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Florida won. Florida won game three. High Point still won the series, but you were a pitch away from sweeping Florida in Gainesville.
But again, I go back to, you mentioned the Auburn-Cincinnati game. You can't look at that and say, oh, they lost to Cincinnati, that's a terrible team. Like, that is a situation where baseball is baseball and things happen. But
and as Jack mentioned, Auburn had the tying run at third base in the, or I guess the tying run at second base in the home half of the eighth. So it's like,
yeah,
that score did not necessarily reflect what the game was.
Those one-off situations, okay, those one-off situations are fine to look at it that way, but for teams like Florida and Tennessee and Arkansas, who are all very good but have struggled throughout non-conference play, I don't think you can just overlook that and say, oh yeah, they'll turn it around in March. They'll figure it, they'll fix it in April, and they might, But you are allowed to look at that and say, okay, maybe there are some cracks in the foundation. Tennessee, because of Tony Vitello no longer being there, is a big part of that. Arkansas is a little baffling. Florida's not as good as they have been. So there are some explanations for that. But Auburn handling business like they're doing right now is a big, big deal. You look at what happened this weekend against Winthrop. And if you have thoughts on this, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. You go back to Friday, a 10-0 run rule in seven innings, and you just put them away in the very beginning. Marciano was shoving. You score three in the first, and you never look back, right? You tack on runs along the way. Marciano in this game. Where did it go? I had it. Where'd he go? I had my Marciano pitching stats.
He went six innings, three hits, six Ks.
Here it is. Yeah, I lost it. Different tab. Six innings, three hits, six Ks. He's
and
terrible,
unfortunately,
though.
He gave up his first walk of the year.
I was just about to say that. First walk of the year. So, I mean, the outing is just tarnished. It's terrible. Just throw it away. Don't even look at it.
Honestly, I don't disagree.
I mean.
And how wild is it? And this is sounds very backhanded compliment, but it's not. The fact that six innings, three hits, six Ks could be in a conversation for the worst start of the weekend.
Yeah.
That's what's wild.
And he almost threw technically a complete game because Harden came in and threw one inning.
Yeah.
Got three outs and that was it. Auburn won.
But you go down and then you look at Jackson Sanders, who went seven innings, two hits, 10 Ks on game one of the doubleheader in the 6-0 win in game two. You then go to game three, where Auburn finally gives up its first run of the weekend.
Boo.
I know, so terrible. But Petrovic went four innings, two hits, did give up a run, but had two strikeouts. But that was a little bit more than you had Chatterton, who went in 2 2/3, three Ks. And so the fact that you could throw out a six-inning start as, okay, yeah, that was a solid one, but definitely not the best of the weekends. My goodness, if that's your Friday night guy, and then your Saturday night guy or your Saturday afternoon guy can come up and double down, if not outperform you, and then you have a guy like Alex Petrovic, and then if Christian Chatterton is going to be your go-to guy out of the bullpen for those kind of long inning relieves, I mean, my goodness. The Auburn staff is in a really good spot.
Yeah, Jackson Sanders was named the SEC Pitcher of the Week because of his performance on Saturday. So
that man,
that's pretty strong.
From the first inning against Florida State in Arlington, where he went fastball heavy early on in the count, and Florida State jumped on it. When he walked into the dugout, it was him and Coach Everett Tieford, that had a major conversation on, okay, let's mix things up a little bit. Let's go a little bit more breaking ball. Let's go to that slider. Ever since then, my goodness, he's found it and has dominated, working ahead, working backwards when needed. It's been really, really nice to see.
Yeah, I mean, you think about Marciano as your ace on Friday. Sanders is pitching like an ace on Saturday.
Who would be a Friday night guy at a majority of places?
Yes. And then you mentioned it on Sunday. If you can have those two guys basically chained together as a starter, right there, I think Petrovic is obviously the guy, but you don't expect him to go six, seven innings here. You look at him with him chained together with Chatterton, and that's what's the way I'm trying to describe this of. They're basically penciled in together as your starter.
Yeah, it's like when you go out to recess and you start picking teams. It's, yeah, we're a package.
Yeah, I mean, you just know Sunday is their day. Rather than his day, it's their day. And I think that's what Auburn is looking to do. And what a great thing to have already figured out going into SEC play. Yes, you've got the midweek tomorrow, but going into SEC play this weekend against Missouri, that's one thing you don't have to worry about, as long as, of course, everybody stays healthy and stays to their level and things like that. But to have that figured out and then the bats continuing to do what they do with the McCrane brothers, just being pests with the bat in their hands, and Guevara starting to really hit the ball well, Frelick hitting the ball well.
You saw power numbers this weekend. We've talked a whole lot about one in the first, one in the second, one in the third, which is what Auburn did against Samford. All of a sudden, Samford, even though they may have felt like they won a couple of those innings, you look up and it's 3-0 after three. Auburn did the exact opposite, and my goodness, the crooked number innings, the long ball played a big factor in this contest, and when things like that work, and then you still continue to pile on one here in the fifth, one here in the seventh, one here in the eighth, and all of a sudden you're down 8-0, that is when things get really, really scary for opposing teams.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and look around baseball as well, talk about what happened around the SEC. Plus UAB coming in tomorrow. Reminder, we've got 4 tickets we're giving away starting now. If you hear the code word that Christian gave away, call in 334-321-1390. 4 tickets to UAB baseball tomorrow can be yours if you hear the code word coming up between now and 3:30. But we'll take a break, come back, and wrap up hour number one right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Got a couple of minutes here to continue talking Auburn baseball. Again, we'll have a big conversation about Auburn baseball coming up tomorrow. We'll talk about the series against Winthrop a little bit more. Also preview the game against UAB plus SEC play. Yes, that starts this weekend. How crazy is that? We're over a week into the month of March. We're less than a week away from Selection Sunday. We also have SEC baseball starting this weekend, so we'll talk about all that tomorrow.
And you know what else is the weekend? This weekend, the players.
Oh, is it really? Wow, that sounded sarcastic, but I swear it wasn't. I'm really excited. I love that tournament.
After
I cannot believe we're already there.
Yeah,
we're already at the dude. Where the heck is time going? Yeah, UAB tomorrow for Auburn. Missouri this weekend for Auburn. Head coach Butch Thompson will be joining us on the show tomorrow at 3:05, so be sure you tune in for that. I just can't believe we're... I mean, look at the calendar, man. We're in one of the best sports months of the year. Arguably in a row with March and then April that doubles down. Are you an April or October guy? Which, you're October.
We've talked a little bit about it. I don't know.
I just figured because of the World Series.
I think I'm
April.
I think we had this discussion over the summer about we ranked like the best 45 days of the year. And
March into April is a hell of a 1-2 punch, but so is September into October. September with college football really getting going into October with postseason and World Series and things like that. But I don't know, man. March
even if you
April is strong.
I would even argue mid-October into late November. That 45-day stretch of, yeah, October baseball, you get down the stretch of kind of the NBA season as well, which not that I'm a big casual watcher of the NBA, but when it gets playoff time, you turn it on and then...
Well, that's the start of NBA season.
Yes, But, yeah, the in-season tournament.
Stop.
Right in there.
Stop.
I mean, that's
shut your mouth.
Big
Stop.
Time. But then, I mean, that's when you get, like, prime college football. But, no, I think I am still in that... Right here, this time of the year, you have college baseball getting started. You have Major League Baseball getting started. When you have times like this, you have the World Baseball Classic going on, which is really, really sweet.
That's not a – yeah, I guess you can include that.
I mean, it's not yearly.
I was going to say, it's not an annual thing because it's like, well, February was cool because of the Olympics, which it was.
Right.
But that's not the annual – yeah. I mean, NCAA tournament into the national championship, right? Final Four national championship, golf. Oh, we have the Masters now. Month. Oh, we've got the Masters.
I'm disappointed that the players didn't get that same type of reaction.
I mean, I love the players, don't get me, but ain't nothing.
I could sit on 17.
National. Are you kidding me?
I could sit on 17 all day long.
Oh, yeah. Enjoy it. Soak it in. The weather's warming up. The humidity is here. Summer's right around the corner. Ah, what a time to be alive.
That's why we just like it, because it feels decent outside.
Yeah, enjoy it for the week we have it, because it's going to be hot next week, and it ain't going back. So,
we do have a day in the 60s this week, though.
Enjoy that. It will be the last one. I can guarantee you that. Okay, hour number one's in the book. Stick around. We're talking more basketball coming up in hour number two.
You. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on a sunny, beautiful day here in the Auburn Opelika area. And if you missed any of hour number one, you can always go back and catch up on the podcast version of the show. If you missed any of the first hour, any of our other shows, interviews, things like that, you can always go back and listen to it wherever you get your podcast or on our station website at ESPNAU.com. In hour number one, we talked Auburn basketball as they fall to Alabama or lose to Alabama, get blown out by Alabama, whatever terminology you want to use, it is accurate. We talked about that in hour one and gave our thoughts and just how, I don't know, confused we were by the performance of Auburn and their energy and lack thereof in a game that you felt like they had to have. We also talked Auburn baseball. As the Tigers sweep Winthrop, have UAB coming in tomorrow, and had a little bit of a fun conversation there. More baseball coming up later in the show and later on tomorrow as well. But all of that in the first 60 minutes of today's show. So if you missed it, check it out on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
Here in hour number two, despite all beliefs, there's still a way for Auburn to make the postseason tournament. And so we will talk all about how that is still a possibility, because rather than the bubble condensing, you feel like, my goodness, the bubble shrunk, and now the committee may be having a conversation on, we need somebody to fill that spot. So Auburn could be in that spot. We'll also talk about some of the quotes that Joe Lunardi talked about in terms of this Auburn team. Also, a conversation on how important are conference tournaments this year in comparison to years past with some of these bubble teams, just because, my goodness, again, it's almost like a teacher. We got to put butts in seats somehow, and that's kind of where you feel like maybe this committee is at for Team 64 through 68. We'll also have a conversation with Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. We'll talk basketball, but we'll also talk baseball, softball, equestrian, everything going on in the Auburn sports world, that is, as well. All of that coming up in a really exciting hour number two.
Yep, and so until we talk to Hillman, phone lines are open if you want to get in and be a part of the conversation. Basketball, baseball, you name it, we got it. We'd love to hear from you on the phone lines, 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. Or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box, as many of you have, at 334-784-1067. And, yeah, several conversations and directions to go with this conversation. But the fact of the matter is, Christian, for the last couple of weeks for Auburn, we've gone into a game saying, gotta have it. If you want to make the tournament, gotta have this one. And most of the time, Auburn has lost. The only game... Well, that game was included, so I was going to say LSU, but you had to have that one because the win didn't mean anything, but the loss would have been just brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, the last, what, four or five games, we've said it for Auburn, gotta have it, yeah. gotta have it. And all but one of those, you have not had it and got it.
I guess you could throw Kentucky in that had to have it type of game, but not quite to the desperation that you did post that game. It started with Ole Miss.
But even with Auburn's atrocious record in those games,
of had to have it, season's up for grabs, need the win, can't afford the loss. Even with all of that, somehow, some way, Auburn still has a chance to make the NCAA tournament. There's no way I would have predicted this. If you had told me 3 weeks ago that Auburn would go the way that it did, it would have the record that they had against the teams that they played, and you gave me the orange $500 Monopoly bill and said, do you think Auburn makes the tournament? I'd say, no, absolutely not. Lose to Ole Miss? Get blown out by Alabama? Games like that? No, I'd say absolutely not. But because Auburn lost and all of the other teams on the bubble this weekend lost, the Tigers still have a chance to make the big dance.
Yeah, I won't spend as much time talking about the last four byes because that has changed a little bit more. You've seen NC State fall to that, Missouri and Texas in that as well. UCF has dropped from the 9 seed now to one of the last four byes in the tournament. But wanted to primarily spend our time because of those wins on the last four in and the first four out, because that is where a whole lot of the controversy, that's where a whole lot of these discussions have come into play. And I will take Santa Clara out of this conversation as well, because with them in their conference tournament, I don't expect them to go anywhere. Yeah. I think they are comfortably in that spot. But you look, I would throw VCU arguably in that spot as well, but two teams that are solidly in the tournament, although they are listed as one of the last four teams in. The last thing that, again, taking the emotions out of what's just happened to Auburn, just looking at it in a vacuum, hoping that Auburn makes the tournament, you needed a lot of things to go your way if you did not take care of business on Saturday. You start with SMU, 19-12 19-12 overall. They've lost four straight. They needed a win at Florida State to kind of solidify their hopes. They couldn't get it. You continue on in the teams that couldn't get it. Indiana took on Ohio State, and this was one of those scary games for Auburn, because with Ohio State beating Penn State earlier in the week and jumping a lot of spots for that, it was a little questionable to me, but the last thing that you wanted was Indiana to then go and beat Ohio State to where then arguably both of those teams would be in. Indiana lost. Indiana's the first team out. Indiana's the first team behind Auburn. The next team behind them, Virginia Tech, the Hokies, 19-12. Well, they lost to Virginia. It was at Virginia, so I don't think that they got punished as much. They did not move, but they did not jump this Auburn team. You then go to Stanford, who is on a four-game win streak, but it's because they have climbed into the first four out thanks to losses from New Mexico, as they lost to Colorado State and Utah State, who we said they only needed one of those to probably get in the tournament. Instead, they lost to both of them. New Mexico is the first team out. And then Cincinnati, the last four out because of their loss to TCU. And then Cal losing as well. But The last thing that we wanted was for the committee to have to sit there on Selection Sunday and go, okay, there are six spots that need to be filled, whether that's the last four byes and the last four in and then the first two teams that are truly out. But my goodness, there are 13 names that we have to fill in these spots. But when you look at what happened on Saturday, just about every single team that was ahead of Auburn won and stayed on the right side of the bubble. Auburn's kind of right there in the middle. And then all of the teams that were right behind Auburn, that Auburn couldn't have win, they lost as well. And so the bubble now, you feel like, has expanded from the standpoint of the room for error. And Auburn's just kind of right in the middle.
But that's the thing, is nothing really changed, right? Because everybody that needed to win, nobody got it. And so somehow, again, according to bracketologists, Auburn is still in the tournament. But here's what's weird, is Joe Lunardi said Saturday night after Auburn got embarrassed by Alabama, he said, they'll be in my bracketology, they'll be in, they'll be the last team in, but if I'm the selection committee, I wouldn't expect them to be in the tournament.
Yeah, they're the last team in, but don't expect them to stay right there.
What does that mean?
I have no idea.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Which goes to show, again, we talk so much about bracketology starting in November, December, and all throughout conference play. It goes to show, and a really good reminder that we should probably say more, Joe Lunardi's not on the selection committee.
We mentioned that on Friday, and it took us a little bit, but we did get to that point of, I think Jack even did the research and said that Joe Lunardi, like accuracy-wise, was like 118th out of 160 total bracketologists that claim to be bracketologists because they have a website that they can put their bracket on. But,
I mean, Jack is a bracketologist.
Right.
I mean, and his rankings are pretty darn good.
I would say so, yeah. And so Lunardi was ranked like 118th or something along those lines. But because he has all the fancy colors and the arrows that point to green and red and the website for himself, you take that into so much more consideration than just about anybody else's. But yes, we did have a really fun conversation on how his words, because he's been very outspoken about Auburn over the past couple of weeks, and I guess you didn't get your thoughts out on the Friday bracketology where he finally did not talk about Auburn, which is so funny because last year Auburn drove so much of the conversation on, do they deserve to be the number one overall seed? And now they're still getting just as much headlines and bracketology talk on, should they be the very last team into the tournament?
Yeah, and somebody made a point the other day that I was reading over the weekend, I think yesterday, Miami of Ohio, which of course there's a lot of drama tied with Auburn there too. The Miami of Ohio situation is fascinating, and Auburn fans need to keep an eye on that conference tournament because everybody is just expecting Miami of Ohio, again, who is now the eighth team all time to finish the regular season undefeated. Everybody just expects them to win their conference tournament this week. Did you know they're not favored to win it? They're the second best betting odds to win their own conference tournament. I mean, so what happens if they don't win their conference tournament? Let's say they make it to the semifinals or the finals and they lose. What does the tournament committee do then? Because whoever wins, right, the idea is that the winner of that conference tournament would then get the automatic bid. Does the tournament committee then put Miami of Ohio in also? Because if they do, they're stealing a bid from somebody.
You're a bid stealer.
You're a bid stealer, which Auburn being the last team in the tournament, according to Lunardi this weekend, Auburn would get bumped out. But I think it was Lunardi or somebody else, it may have been Seth Davis, who made this point, and I'd forgotten about this. Did you know, with the automatic qualifier, right, the winner of the conference tournament makes it to the NCAA tournament? Did you know that that is up to the discretion of the conference? They do not have to give that automatic qualifier to the winner of the conference tournament. That's what everybody does, and that's the standard.
But you're saying if Miami of Ohio gets upset in the championship, they could still give the bid to Miami of Ohio?
As the regular season champion.
And then just make the strong argument of whoever beats them to get the one of the final at-large bids?
Yes. That is a possibility. Huh. I don't know if they would do that, but that is a possibility and something that you need to keep in mind. But again, Auburn needs to keep an eye on that. Auburn needs to be big Miami fans this week.
Yes, you need Miami to win just to eliminate any sort of controversy on that side of things. Because right now, Miami of Ohio is already in the tournament. If this were to end right now.
Yeah. But the fact that Auburn still has a shot is just wild to me. And so the conversation we're going to have coming up after the break, before we talk a little more baseball and get to Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, is this the first time in several years that conference tournaments actually matter? Does the committee have to do this crazy thing of watching the conference tournaments this week?
Wait. They have to work this weekend?
You're telling me they can't just fill their brackets out today and be done until Sunday?
Darn.
I think there's a conversation for it.
That's why we need expansion. So that way there is no bubble team. So then everybody can make it. And that way, instead of just having 58 teams or whatever that actually qualify and could make a really good tournament, let's just put 84 so we don't have to work the conference tournament.
I agree.
That way, instead of just not working Saturday and Sunday or just working Sunday, you can take the week off.
I like the way you think. Some say work smarter, not harder. The NCAA Tournament Committee says, we ain't working at all. That's how they roll. We'll talk about that conversation and legitimately whether conference tournaments actually matter more than they have in a long time. We'll talk about that coming up next.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And before we continue talking college basketball, and again, going to have the conversation on do conference tournaments actually have some value this year compared to what they have in the past. The World Baseball Classic going on right now.
Oh my gosh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's been awesome the first few days. Tonight and tomorrow were big nights too for the World Baseball Classic.
They were. I mean, you had games this morning. You had Korea beat Australia this morning. Colombia beat Panama. That was today. The Dominican Republic, I saw Fernando Tatis hit a grand slam.
Yeah.
Early in that contest.
The call was sweet, too.
The Dominican Republic is so good.
Didn't Panama get not eliminated, but they got basically they're out of contention to win the title,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. You have Venezuela and Mr. Ronald Acuna taking on Nicaragua at 6 o'clock. Cuba and Puerto Rico at 6 o'clock on Fox Sports 1, which should be a really, really fun matchup. Cuba and Puerto Rico both 2-0. And then the nightcap, United States and Mexico, the 7 o'clock game on Fox. And that is going to be a very, very fun matchup. I mean, listening to so many guys that have talked all about this game and what it means. I mean, Paul Skeens talked about his introduction to just this being recognized as one of the starters for the league, of how he was at Air Force again a couple of years ago and talked about how it's not even about the stardom of making money or making millions of dollars, but it's being able to wear the flag across your chest and pitch for the United States. And so really, really cool to get that sort of presence on the mound to lead your team against Mexico here tonight.
Yeah, that'll be cool. So we'll talk some more about that as the week goes on with the World Baseball Classic. But bringing it back to basketball, and the question that we proposed going to break, do conference tournaments actually matter this year? Because we've answered the question generically, right? Because over the past several years, the answer has clearly been no, because the tournament committee has told us so. They've told us that we don't watch the tournaments, our brackets are filled out, and we're not going to change them on Saturday or Sunday morning. We're just not going to do it, or Saturday or Sunday afternoon, right, because of conferences like the Big Ten and the SEC who play their championship games on Sunday afternoon. They have literally said that, Christian, that they are not going to change their brackets because of it unless they absolutely have to with a team winning the tournament that was not supposed to.
Well, even just looking at the SEC, it's a perfect example of, I mean, their SEC championship game is at noon.
Yes.
And the selection show is at, what, three?
Six.
Or is it, it's at six, but yeah, it's that afternoon. And by gosh, I mean, we don't want to make them change all the graphics that we've already put out there as they started working on it on Friday afternoon.
Exactly. So they've literally come out and said those things. So in the past, we have come to accept, and we have heavily promoted it this way, unfortunately, but the SEC tournament, the Big Ten tournament, the Big 12 tournament, which are all going to be awesome this week, they have no actual NCAA tournament implications.
Right.
But this year could be different. Because of those bubble teams that we talked about in the previous segment who all lost over the weekend, nobody was able to solidify their spot and punch their ticket to the tournament unofficially.
And funny enough, if even just one of those teams did, we'd be having a completely different conversation about Auburn.
Correct. But because of how it happened, the tournament committee can do one of two things. They can make their brackets on Wednesday, right, when most of the mid-major tournaments wrap up. They can make their bracket and say, nope, we're sticking with our guns. We do what we do. We're going to operate the same way. If you didn't win over the weekend in your regular season finale, sorry, that was your last chance. They can do that. Or they could have a little fun and actually make conference tournaments mean something again for the first time in a while and say, all right, Indiana, see what you got. You got Purdue lined up if you win your first game. Let's see if you can beat them. Let's see if you can beat Nebraska. Let's see if you can make a run. Okay, Auburn, see if you can beat Mississippi State and Tennessee and Vanderbilt. Okay, somebody, right? Who else is in this conversation? Virginia Tech or SMU, right? What's the ACC? I haven't looked at the ACC bracket in a minute.
SMU has... It loaded and then it unloaded.
Unloaded, huh?
It's pretty cool.
But teams like
SMU
that.
Has Syracuse in the first round.
Who would they match up with after that? Because most of these bubble teams, you're not going to get credit for winning the first game. It's going up against a team you'll be the underdog against in the second game, third game, and beyond.
Here we go. I finally have the bracket pulled up. So SMU would play Syracuse and then Louisville. Virginia Tech in that conversation as well.
Yep.
Would play Wake Forest and then Clemson.
So the tournament committee could sit back and say, okay, let's see what you got. Let's see what run you can go on, and we'll give you credit. The team that goes the furthest will put you in. Something like that. But here's where my frustration lies, Christian, is we don't know. You have no idea. Stephen Pearl has no idea. And not that they go into the game thinking this way of, okay, this game matters, this game matters, like this one doesn't matter, they're not watching us anyway. They don't think that way, but it's true because we genuinely have no idea. What if Auburn beats Mississippi State and then beats Tennessee? We don't know. We don't know if there's any validity to that. We don't know if there's any weight to that. We don't know if you actually get credit for doing that, but Auburn has to go in and play games blind to their own discredit, yes, because they've had their chances.
Right.
But in a vacuum with the SEC tournament, right, you're playing these games blind and you genuinely have no idea. The only way any of these teams on the bubble can punch their ticket is win the whole dang thing.
And somebody in this same type of conversation that has just as much frustration is Todd Golden at Florida, who just wrapped up a one seed because they were tied with UConn, according to Joe Lunardi, as the final one seed in the tournament. UConn lost, Florida won. Florida then jumped UConn to become a one seed. If I'm Todd Golden, why do I play this tournament?
I stay in Gainesville.
Because what do you gain by winning two games? Nothing. What do you gain by going one and done? You don't gain anything, but you dang sure could lose it, especially if UConn wins two or three games, and all of a sudden they vouch that, you know what, maybe UConn does deserve to be that final one seed, rather than Todd Golding calling up Greg Sankey or whoever and having a conversation of, hey, so you're telling me we could go 2-0 and we wouldn't move, but we go 0-1 and we could possibly lose our one seed? Yeah. No, we're good, thanks.
Or risking injury to anybody on your team in meaningless basketball games? It's the SEC championship game in football all over again. And we told you back in the fall that this conversation would come up in March, and here we are. You're right, Florida clinching the one seed because you got lost to one of the worst P5 teams this season in Marquette. Way to go, Dan Hurley, a guy that doesn't need an introduction, but you know his name now. They lost to Marquette.
He didn't think that he bumped into the official. Have you seen the video?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dude.
The guy went asinine. The dude's crazy. He's crazy. He's a winner, and he's a great coach. One of the greatest we've ever seen, but he's crazy.
There needs to be some sort of repercussion, because you're at the point now of him...
He's flirting with physical
almost
altercation.
Almost getting physical.
Yes.
But because he's like that with somebody... It's like the NBA players. When you look at guys like Draymond Green, who can say whatever they want to the officials, and not him personally, but just... Or I guess him personally, but... Because he does it every game, referees are immune to it. They know going in, okay, this guy's not going to agree with calls, he's going to complain, rather than somebody who doesn't have that type of trait attached to them. They speak out and say one thing, and all of a sudden, the leash is not as long, right? With Dan Hurley, the referees know going into the game, we're going to get worked by him all game long. We just have to let it go in one ear and out the other, rather than you have a silent coach who doesn't agree and finally throws a fit. How quick are you to tee him up versus Dan Hurley?
Yeah. So what's your answer here before we get to break and bring in Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network? Do conference tournaments mean more this year? Will the tournament committee watch and judge bubble teams on their success
Wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah, I would.
Wouldn't you like to know, Weather Boy?
Where are your parents?
I wish I could give an answer that had any sort of validity to it, but we've asked the same question for 5 years, and certain answers you've gotten different, or certain years you've gotten different answers. I would like to say that this one would matter a little bit more, and if Auburn can go out and get a game or two, then you feel more comfortable. But as of now, Auburn's in Joe Lunardi's bracketology, but he doesn't expect them to be in when it's said and done. What does that mean? We don't know.
We have no idea. We'll talk to Jacob Hillman, see what he has to say about Auburn basketball, baseball, softball, and more. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joins us next.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us, and we welcome in a guy who knows everything there is to know about Auburn athletics. They cover it well. We are so glad to be partnered with them again this season. It's Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. My man, there is so much going on. Our list of things to go over with you today, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different sports, and I'm sure we're missing something somewhere.
Well, that's exactly how it goes here in the month of March, and even late February. It's always a busy time, and excited to talk about it with you guys.
Well, our not colleague, but I guess our somebody, colleague in the business, I guess, John Rothstein always says we sleep in May, but in this business for us, we sleep in, July, late June,
There's a couple of weeks in there, probably not during SEC Media Day, so right after that, maybe a couple of weeks, but not much.
Well, let's run through it, my man. We have so many things to go over, and we'll start, of course, with what has dominated our show today, and that is Auburn basketball, who went on the road to Alabama on Saturday night in Tuscaloosa, a game that most people felt like if you wanted to make the tournament, you needed to get the win. Unable to do so, Tigers fall by 12 to Alabama. What'd you see Saturday night at Tuscaloosa from Stephen Pearl and the Tigers?
Yeah, Auburn was just kind of killed in the paint in this game, where Alabama had 58 paint points to Auburn's 32, and that's frustrating in the aspect that Auburn defended Alabama's 3-point shooting well, and we know how games can get out of hand when Alabama shoots the 3-ball well. You go back a couple weeks to when they faced Mississippi State, and they just poured it in on the Bulldogs, and those are the things you have to game plan for. Auburn did that well. It just didn't translate to defense on the interior, and Alabama able to grab a lot of offensive rebounds and score second chance points, and it was all just kind of a factor of defensive breakdowns and Alabama's offense being as elite as it is, and it was something where Alabama just grew a huge lead, and Auburn fought back in the second half, but just it was too little too late, and that's where the disappointment comes, because it just felt like the start of that game, Alabama just got way too far ahead and continued to do what it had success with in the first half and the second half. But Auburn obviously made its run with a good offensive second half. It just couldn't do it in the first half.
A little bit of rapid fire for you, Mr. Hillman. I'm sure that you have seen the updated bracketology from Joe Lunardi saying that Auburn is the last team in, but also making comments about how he doesn't expect this Auburn team to make the tournament. And so maybe a question that doesn't really have a true answer to it, but something that we talked about right before getting you on the phone lines. What do you think Auburn needs to do in the SEC tournament? Do you think it's 1 to feel comfortable? Do you think it could be 2? If you take this in a vacuum and you don't look at any of the other teams around Auburn in the bubble.
Yeah, it's really interesting to, when you mentioned Joe Lunardi just playing both sides of it, and that way, it's pretty easy to kind of play that way. But yeah. I think for Auburn, it might be a case that you have to go and win the SEC tournament potentially. The reason I say that is because I look back to 2022 and Texas A&M and how they made it to Sunday, lose to Tennessee in that SEC final, and everyone thought that they were a surefire lock to get in because of that run that the Aggies made that year, but they were still left out of the field. And that's the one thing that keeps sneaking into my mind. But on the other hand, this is an extremely weak bubble. And you look at Saturday going into that game in Tuscaloosa, everything that Auburn needed to happen on the bubble pretty much had happened, and all those other bubble teams had lost, so no one else is helping themselves, and that's kind of where I think there's a little bit more confidence for this Auburn team to maybe make it back into the NCAA tournament with a few wins in Nashville, even if it doesn't automatically qualify with an SEC tournament title. So I could see both sides being it. You know, I just mentioned, you know, we're already playing both sides, but I think obviously you just want to win the whole thing and not even stress on Selection Sunday. But I think that with how weak this bubble is, I think there is a chance that if Auburn's to make it to Saturday or Sunday, that the Tigers can sneak into the field.
And clearly there's too many variables here for this to be a possibility, but you just wish there was a way that Stephen Pearl or somebody at Auburn could call the selection committee and say, what do we need to do? Tell us what we need to do. So that way you at least have an idea. Now, the argument to that is Auburn has had those chances over the last several weeks and haven't been able to capitalize, but you just feel that there was some way for Auburn and all the other bubble teams to do that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you just look at Saturday and just kind of how every single bubble team lost. And obviously Auburn's kind of been in this position where the losses have stacked up enough where you might look back on it. If Auburn's the first team left out in the field, then it's going to be tough to look back on that Ole Miss and the Oklahoma and the Mississippi State games. Because I think if you just win one of those, or you even go back further to the beginning of SEC play in January and Keyshawn Murphy gets that shot against Texas A&M off a millisecond earlier, then this conversation might not even be happening and Auburn's solidly in the field. But nonetheless, this is where we're at, and Auburn's going to have to take care of business in Nashville.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us on the phone lines here on ESPN 106.7. We continue turning along through the different sports, and Auburn basketball couldn't get the win, but man, Auburn baseball had another good weekend. 3 wins in 2 days against Winthrop, outscoring them 24-1 over a 3-game set. Man, this team just continues to do what it does, Hillman. They pitch well, they get outs, and they hit the baseball all the way around. This team is having a lot of fun and really riding high going into their final midweek game, or their final non-conference game before SEC play this week.
Yeah, and it's been something to see the pitching staff start the year off so hot, and maybe not the expectation that everyone had going into the season. Everyone was high on the offense and coming in, and on the flip side, the offense got off to a slow start, but it's finally coming along here in the latter portion of non-conference action, looking to get hot into SEC play. But you have a guy like Jackson Sanders who has a career outing against Winthrop and earns SEC Pitcher of the Week, and mm-hmm. so many other notables throughout the weekend. We'd be here all day long if I were to list them all out. And this baseball team just continues to win in different ways, but also different guys are coming along. And you could see how someone like Bristol Carter, he has had a successful season so far and is leading off for the Tigers after Chris Rimmer's injury, and now he's back. So the lineup continues to get better from that. Mason McCrane, he's just tearing it up so far. He's looking to definitely make an all-freshman team if he continues this into SEC action. And that's not even to mention guys like Chase Fralis and Bob Terrell, who maybe aren't having the highlight that some of these other guys I just mentioned are having, but they are rock solid and are the leaders on this team and leading the way for the Tigers.
And staying on the diamond, but flipping over to the softball side of things, Auburn gets their longest, in, I believe by time and inning, win in the history of Auburn and Kentucky. My goodness, that game went on even past the game on Saturday nights, which was on Wings 94-3. Talk about what you've seen from the Malvos as they beat Kentucky in the series, winning the game 2-6-2 and winning game 3-6-5 in 13 innings.
Yeah, just more resiliency from that ball club, because that team, to lose that first game and then go into a doubleheader day where you basically play 3 games because of the length of that second game, to come out on top and have all those weather delays and fight through that adversity. And it was really good to see them continue to rally. And SJ Guerin, she pitched in both games on Saturday and was credited with the win in both games. It was just, again, just really impressive for this entire team to go in and do that. And you look ahead. There's you got the Oklahoma series coming up. That is going to be a tough one, going on the road to an Oklahoma team who became the fastest team to hit a 100 home runs in a season. That's insane that a team has 100 home runs at this point in the calendar. But you still look at that as an opportunity. All right, how are we going to perform against the best in the nation? Obviously, Oklahoma, just one of the dynasties in all of college sports and sports regardless. And they've been that way for a while. Auburn obviously faced the Sooners in the national title series a decade ago. And they've continued to be on that roll. Auburn looking to get back on that level. And this upcoming weekend will be an opportunity to kind of be a benchmark. And while, again, it's going to be as tough as it gets, it's still an opportunity that this team and this coaching staff is looking forward to. And I'm excited for it as well. I mean, Kylie Shaw, she's on an insane streak. She's extended her on-base streak to 26 games, and that's 26 for 26 this year. So excited to see this lineup continue to develop, because they've changed some things up with the lineup the last couple of weeks. And looking to see if that settles in for the Oklahoma series. And then, of course, in the circle with Ella Harrison and S.J. Garen kind of leading the charge there.
We're talking to Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7, and other things going on around Auburn athletics, gymnastics, equestrian, golf. I mean, so many sports and crossover season underway, and a lot of successes out there.
Yeah, it was really important for gymnastics on Friday night against Michigan State to put up a good score and get career highs from Marissa Neal and Julianne Huff. They followed that up, actually, with a solid performance in Huntsville, a road season high score in Huntsville against Clemson and Georgia and Pittsburgh, actually taking down the Clemson Tigers, a team ranked higher than them. So to do that on the road is good for the national qualifying score, and they'll have their final home meet this Friday night against Missouri. So you can get tickets for that at aubtix.com, and then from there it'll be postseason time in the SEC and the NCAA. Men's tennis swept Alabama yesterday at the Yarbrough Tennis Center. That was a huge win for Bobby Reynolds and that squad. They continue to climb in the rankings. And on the women's side for tennis, fifth-ranked women's tennis team, Jordan Szabo and that crew took down number four LSU in Baton Rouge on Saturday 4-2. So a huge impact for that team to get a top-five win, and they'll look to rise in the rankings as well. And then on the equestrian side, top-ranked equestrian takes down number five Texas A&M 14-5. That claims the one seed in the SEC championship, which the Tigers will host later this month, March 27th and 28th at the Auburn University Equestrian Center. So make your plans for that as Auburn hosts the SEC championship and will be the one seed as they look to continue their winning ways in the SEC. And like you said, there's just so much coming up now with swimming and diving. Zone B championships continue, so trying to get some divers into the NCAA. Men's golf just wrapped up a win in Sawgrass at the Haight down south for another huge win, taking down some elite programs down there. I think Jackson Coyben birdies his 18th hole to win that tournament individually as well, so things continue strong for that men's golf program as well.
Well, man, I'm going to toss it to you one more time and let you plug everything that people need to know, especially on the network. It's a busy week with baseball continuing on. Of course, the SEC men's basketball tournament as well. Tell everybody what they need to know for the next 7 days.
Yeah, we'll go day by day as tomorrow Auburn baseball will host UAB in that non-conference tilt, the final one before SEC action gets underway. That'll be at 6 o'clock tomorrow. 5:45 airtime on Wings 94.3 FM. Brad Law, Jason Caldwell will have the call. And then on Wednesday, men's basketball, the SEC tournament against Mississippi State. I'll join Andy Burcham and Randall Dickey on the call. 1:30 airtime, 2 o'clock tip-off approximately. There'll be a game prior to that that could cause a delay. So we'll be on the air at 1:30 regardless on Wings 94.3 FM. If Auburn's to win that game, it'll be a same airtime and tip-off for Thursday afternoon as well against Tennessee. And then Auburn baseball this upcoming weekend, SEC opening weekend, it's at Missouri. So 6 o'clock first pitch on Friday, and then it'll be a 4 o'clock first pitch on Saturday and 11 a.m. on Sunday. And depending on men's basketball results, those games could all be on Wings 94.3 FM, or one or two of those games could find themselves right here on ESPN 106.7 FM. So make sure you're following us at AU Sports Network for those details when they're finalized. And like I said, depending on the results in Nashville as we move ahead. And also in action, you've got women's tennis back home. Like I said, top five team. They just got a number four win. They're going to be hosting a Tennessee, who's a top 10 team, and then a Kentucky team as well. And then track and fields at the NCAA Indoor Championships in Fayetteville, softball at Oklahoma Friday through Sunday. And then I mentioned gymnastics hosting senior night on Friday against Missouri. That meet will begin at 7 o'clock central in Neville Arena. So much going on this week. Make sure you follow at AU Sports Network for broadcast details, follow at Auburn Tigers and sport accounts for all those updates, and go to auburntigers.com and the Auburn mobile app for all those details.
Hillman, be careful down there in Nashville. You know, Bridgestone Arena is right there on Broadway. There's a lot of fun to be had down
there.
Well,
you know, and here's the thing. It's going to be a fun week no matter what, regardless of results or anything like that. Always traveling to the SEC tournament, it is always a blast. And like you said, Broadway is Broadway, and you just got to make sure you do what you got to do to survive that.
Yeah, I know you got a favorite spot down there. We won't talk about it on the air, but I know you've got a place you have a second home. So Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, he's with us every Monday at 3:30 here on ESPN 106.7. My friend, it is great to talk to you as always. Enjoy the busy week, and we'll talk to you again next Monday if you make it out alive, huh?
That's right. We'll talk about it then. War Eagle.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us here on ESPN 106.7. We'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up the Monday edition of On the Line right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network for joining us, as he does every Monday. And, yeah, man, there's so much going on right now. Crossover season continues to dominate. And, fortunately, I'm no longer in crossover season. My Auburn High Lady Tigers, I'm sure you shared on Friday, did not, and probably shared on Thursday, too, that they did not win in the Final Four. That was tough, man. That was tough to be a part. Love being a part of it, obviously, but fell short to Bob Jones, who then fell really short to Hoover. So
yeah, let them know that the first half went Auburn's way, the second half everything went Bob Jones' way.
That's pretty much how it went. So no more crossover season. Basketball coverage is done, but full baseball for us, high school baseball. You may or may not remember that you call baseball by the time you get back on the air.
Yeah, I still have another week.
Gosh, yeah, that's crazy.
Since
I'm back on the air.
Since I couldn't
weekend.
Make my beach trip.
Yeah, I have two games Friday, two games Saturday. I will not be on the show Friday. More on that. I may be in some capacity on Friday, but we'll update that as we go. But yeah, but for Auburn athletics though, university athletics, man, there's so much going on right now. And as Jacob said, again, great show today. By the way, we've talked basketball, bubble, bracketology, baseball, all that on the show. If you missed it, go check it out at ESPNAU.com in our podcast center. But as Hillman said, the radio station assignments will be TBD of Auburn in the basketball tournament.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, a good problem to have with the amount of things that are going on.
But yeah, no doubt about it. So they'll start baseball tomorrow is on Wings 94.3. Basketball Wednesday will be on Wings 94.3. Basketball Thursday, if they win, will be on Wings 94.3. Friday is when it starts to get interesting. Friday is when things start to go squirrely. So we'll update you on that as we go. So,
thankfully, there's not another sport starting next week that we're diving into in the middle of crossover season. Spring practice.
Oh,
get started.
Yeah,
thankfully,
you're right.
That's not involving radio stations, but
yeah.
You just talk about another sport that we are diving into very, very quickly. What is that, next Tuesday, right?
The 17th, is that right? Yeah, I think so. Wow, that's crazy. I saw something today as we have about a minute or so. I saw a video today on Twitter, X, whatever, social media, online, the internet. Do you know what happened 6 years ago today? Rudy Gobert touched the microphones as he got up and walked out of the press
room. Oh, I have
room.
COVID.
2 days later, the league shut down. The world shut down. That was 6 years ago.
I was on the practice field. We were in the middle of practice, and we got called in because we had heard a little bit about it, and we got told that we had to stop practice. We had to go to our dorms and sit there, and we didn't leave for a day. We had food brought to us. They then met us at the gym two or three days later, all of the athletic programs and told us peace.
Funny enough, when I went home this past weekend, my dad and I had lunch on Friday at the very same restaurant we were sitting at that year watching the Big East tournament. I'll never forget it. The Big East tournament, the quarterfinals. It was a Friday afternoon, and everything had started to go kind of squirrely and crazy. They went to the locker room, and I said out loud, they're not coming back out. They didn't. And that night was when everything went to hell and the world shut down. So that was 6 years ago, man. Think about how far we've come. Not to bring up any, you know, bad memories or anything, but just crazy that that was 6 years ago when everything stopped. So I saw that on our timeline, or my timeline today. So
freshman year of college for me. That was, I'm old.
Yeah. That was my sophomore year, my first year at Auburn. So that was cool. That was nice. Anyways, we're back tomorrow, 2 to 4, here on ESPN 106.7. Go check out the podcast version of the show if you missed any of it. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Until tomorrow, stay safe. We'll talk to you later.